very experienced coming into church. They do not know what to expect when they come here. Because people who've never been to church, they have a lot of stereotypes and preconceived notions of us. They're not sure what happened. So, with people coming from all different backgrounds, all different situations in their lives, what do we need to do to make sure that we are a welcoming place? Well, there's a lot of things that I want to talk about. The first is this. This is our church home. We're comfortable here, right? This is the place where some of you have spent your entire life. And like most of our homes, when it's our home, we're very comfortable with it. Our first house in Waukesha was built in 1936. And on the first floor of the kitchen, we had a bathroom that was literally 2 feet, 8 inches wide by 6 feet long. That had a bathroom and had a toilet from 1936. And that toilet would run and run and run, and sometimes the pipes would shake. And so finally we decided we're going to spend the money, we're going to get the toilet fixed. And after we did that, Anna, just a little girl, invited a friend over one day, and she so proudly took her into the bathroom and said, "And when you flush the toilet, you don't even have to jiggle the handle." We're used to our home. Okay? Remember the same tile? Remember the carpeting? Remember the kitchen? We lived with it. We were very comfortable with it. We've done something about it in our Grow in Grace program. One of the reasons why we did our Grow in Grace program was to make sure that this is a place that is inviting to others. Because you know what? Just as perhaps you have not gone into a restaurant and you've driven that because it doesn't look real good on the outside, or not gone into a store because it didn't have an attractive storefront, the appearance of a church building can be a positive or negative impact on it. The Bible is filled with ideas about welcoming. There's a famous story in Genesis chapter 18 where the Lord and two of his angels appear in human form to Abraham. They're on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to check it out. And Abraham, when they come to his tent, he welcomes them. He says, "Please stay with me." He feeds them. He is a gracious host. That's where this verse from Hebrews 13 comes from. That we need to always be aware as Christians that we entertain, that we welcome strangers. That has to be central to our Christian faith. Jesus was the best inviter and welcomer the world has ever known. Jesus went out of his way to welcome those who were on the outcast, who were on the outside of society. Our passage today from Mark chapter 9, where Jesus' disciples are arguing over who is the best. And what does he do? He takes a child. He puts the child on his lap, and he says, "Whoever welcomes a child like this, it's as though you're welcoming me, and if you welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me." Christians are to be welcoming people because this is Christ's church, and we must never forget that. This is not Pastor Paul's church, okay? This is not Emma's church, even though she runs, okay? This is not Dave's church. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. And let's be honest, there are Christian churches that really don't care if anyone comes through their door. As long as my needs are met, as long as I have things done the way I want, that's fine. And if you do want to come and join us, that's okay, but just know you got to do it our way. Because that's what we want. That's not what we're supposed to do. So let's talk about how we do a good job of welcoming. This is all very practical. And the job of welcoming people starts long before anyone ever pulls into our parking lot. It starts with how does someone even come to know us? You're my age, okay? There are a lot of young people who do not know what the Yellow Pages are. They do not. Anything you want to know, you go online. The world has changed. And so what does a church's website say about the church? Is our website something really terrible and horrible? Has it not been updated since 2005? What does our church website say about it? And we are very thankful at Grace. We have a wonderful team headed by John Merck. If you never checked out our website, that's our home team. We just did that shot this week. We have a website where we are constantly working to improve how we communicate who we are, what goes on here to people who have never been here but who want to know. So someone shows up, and the first thing they do is they pull into a parking spot, okay? Do we have spots for visitors? Do you know where our visitor parking spots are? come in are our greeters. Does our church have greeters who are warm, who are welcoming, or are they on their phones while they're holding the door? Okay? That's an important thing. That's the first impression we make. Are there people in the church who are on the lookout for visitors? Now, we do have some people at Grace who are very, very good at that. They keep their eyes open. They look, if they see someone, they say, oh, that's right, that person over there, I think they're new today. That's wonderful. And these people, they do something even more. They actually dare to say hello. They introduce themselves to people. They don't just go, well, somebody should say something to that person over there. I think they're new. They go and do it themselves. Does our church have an Arcus huddle? You know what an Arcus huddle is? It's that little circle of people in church who are talking to one another. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you walk into the church for the first time and all you see are these little circles of people, people's backs are to you, what does that say to someone who comes in? As churches, we need to work to make sure we break up those narthex huddles. So that we're not just always with the people we know, which is fun to do in church, it's a great place to do that, but to make sure we keep our eyes open for others. When someone comes here, do they have a clue where to go? I have heard three people in the last week who walked through the new building said, I got lost. Okay, we have a much bigger building now. What are we going to do to make sure that if someone comes in here, they know where they are supposed to go besides heaven? And what do we do with welcoming? We have our welcoming desk out there. It is manned almost every week. Sometimes the volunteers aren't here, but what does it say to someone if we have a welcoming desk where they can go and get information about the church? That is important. Nurseries. Now, if your kids are grown and they're out or you've never had kids, you probably don't think the church nursery is that big a deal. Church nurseries are one of the most important things to do that you're looking for in a church home. All right? We put a lot of time and energy in our new nursery, and if you haven't been back here, it's where the old kitchen was. Our new nursery has four rooms. It has the main nursery. It has a family bathroom. It has a nursing room, and it has a changing room. Because that's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's talk about changing diapers. It's really cute. We can laugh about it. Nurseries are a big deal. We are a church with lots of families and lots of kids. All right. We need to make sure our nursery is welcoming and inviting. So worship. Walk in the door, you come in here, and you worship. Now, those of us who have been in the church for years, we know worship inside and out. You don't even need the new thing. Because you have the thing down. You know it all. But imagine you had not been to church in ages. What does worship, what kind of experience do you have? You'll be saying to yourself, why do these people stand up and sit down all the time? No. What are we supposed to do now? That's very unusual to a lot of people. The bulletins, okay, those things you get. What's this for? What's this telling you? What are those books in front of you? What are they all about? What is the positive use, the negative use of using screens? Now, if you did not know it, we got our screens here in 2003. We actually had people leave the church because they didn't think you should be watching TV in church. Well, do you watch TV anywhere else? All right. Do you want to look at, are we visual people? There are screens on the gas pumps now. I personally think this is one of the greatest things we've done here. And I hope it makes people feel more at home and welcome in our service. What about the music we play in church? The music we sing. Okay? And no offense to Aaron, we love Aaron, but how many of you have your top 40 organization program? You know, the music we sing, one of my favorite hymns, is come thou fount of every blessing. But here's the line. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. Now, if you have been to church for 20 years and you sing that, you are going to be saying, what in the world is an Ebenezer, and why would I want to raise one? Now, it's a wonderful hymn. It's a meaningful hymn. But in the church, we need to understand, what's our music saying to those who come to us who maybe aren't used to church music? How does it tell them? And we need to understand that music truly does wash away the dust of every day. The passing of the peace. It's your first time in church, and all of a sudden, everyone starts walking. But when we pass the peace, when we pass the peace, is it? Pardon me, Laura. If you've never come to our Thursday nights, it's wonderful. Thursday nights, just about 30, 35 each year. Everybody shakes everybody's hand. It takes a long time to pass. What does passing the peace say to people when they come to worship? And communion. You have not been to church in 25 years. What is going on down here? Do you know? We at Grace, we announce every week, and it might be old for you to remember, but we announce every week, here's how we're celebrating communion today. The reason we do that is in 2003, our high school kids went on a mission trip. We stayed overnight in a church in Ohio, and the next morning, being good Lutherans, we went to their early service. Being really good Lutherans, we sat in front. And we were the first ones to take communion. And you know what? We did not have a clue what to do. And on that day, I said, you know what? We are going to announce to everyone every Sunday, this is how we take communion, and this is what it means to us. There are churches, when it comes time for the offering, they say to visitors, you don't need to put anything in here. You're our guest today. All right? The offering is for those of us who are members and supporters. What does that maybe say to someone who's coming and thinking, all they want is my money? Is that you don't have to put anything on your head. And what is our fellowship hour today? That wonderful new facility. We will no longer be sardines on Sunday mornings. That wonderful new facility will institute so much more fellowship. I think it's just fantastic. To help us warmly welcome one another. And what do you do for someone who visits? Do you know that when someone comes here for the first time, you give them a gift? What does it say to someone who can give and be told thank you for it? Now, let's talk about you in yours, where you are. Let's talk about what each one of us needs to do. We're Lutherans. Skinny as a rail, or could afford to you're more Catholic than the Pope or you haven't been to church since you were Joey's Baptist. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not yet grown up. I turned 60 in 3 weeks. And to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome soccer moms, NASCAR dads, starving hearts, street huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or you're down in the dumps or you don't like organized religion. We've been there too. If you blew all your money at the dog track, you're welcome here. We offer a special welcome to those of you who think the earth is flat, who work too hard, who don't work, who can't spell, or are here because grandma's in town and wanted to go to church. We welcome those of you who are ink, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, have religion shoved down their throats as a kid, or got lost in traffic and wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, doubters, bleeding hearts,